WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. You can still see the 2-year-old Chastity Bono on reruns of her parents' old variety show, The Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. But that's hardly how she's making her mark on the entertainment industry now. She's consulting to the industry on the portrayal of gays. She's the entertainment media director of the activist group GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. She worked with the program Ellen on its coming out episodes. She's delighted to see that gays in the industry are beginning to come out, but she doesn't believe in outing. She knows what that's like. She was outed by the tabloid The Star in 1990 when she was 21. I asked Chastity what was going on in her life at the time.
I was trying to have a career in the record industry as a singer. I had just gotten signed to a development deal at Geffen Records, and then that happened, and it was a very scary time. I didn't know how it would affect my career at all. It was way before anybody had started coming out in the music industry, so kind of the school of thought at that time was, deny it, and if you were to come out, it would be have devastating effects career-wise.
Do you remember what the headline was?
No. Something like, Cher shattered as, lesbian daughter says she's gay or some such crap.
Was that annoying that even in the article outing you, it was your mother who had the first mention?
I didn't think of it. I was too busy being terrified.
Right.
To be annoyed.
So you were advised to deny it?
Yeah, I was.
Did you think that was good advice at the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, again, it was, nobody had done it yet. So the thinking was it can't be done. You can't be a successful recording artist and be out. And we now know that that's absolutely untrue. But unfortunately, it takes, some brave people to disprove that. And it wasn't until, I guess, 92 or 93 that Katie Lane came out and, proved to the world that you could be very successful and be out.
After you were outed by The Star, a tabloid, you were later outed again by Outweek, which was a gay publication, and the editor of that publication, Michael Signorilli, is, I think, the person who wrote the article. What was your reaction to being outed by the gay press?
I was really angry. I felt really betrayed. I was very much against the whole outing movement. I still am, though it's not really an issue anymore. But, I felt like I had been betrayed by my own community, basically.
And what was the rationale then for outing you?
I think the rationale for outing, period, was, just to try to bring awareness of the number of people that were gay and to try to get people to come out. And I think that was probably the rationale behind why they did it to me. I know it wasn't, a personal kind of attack like some of the other outings were. I think that kind of the gist of that story that was almost that, I was a victim of, the establishment or the horrible record industry that was, making me stay in the closet, which really wasn't true. I was advised that way, but it was certainly my decision. It wasn't like I wanted to come out and was told I couldn't,
When you were outed by a tabloid, your strategy was deny it. And let's face it, who really trusts the tabloids anyways?
Right.
But when you were outed by Outweek, which is a real, inside publication,
right,
could you have denied it then?
Well, it was the number of people that were reading Outweek. It was just a small number of the gay community. Outweek wasn't even a magazine like Out or The Advocate is now. So it didn't really worry me. It just angered me.
So what was your strategy after that?
It didn't change.
Didn't change. When did you decide to come out, and why did you decide to do it at that time?
I decided to come out in the beginning of 95 in The Advocate, and I had just started writing for them, and at that point it seemed, I guess, almost hypocritical to be writing for a gay magazine and to not be out. And I had already started at that, probably for the year before, like the year of before that, 94, I was really living my life completely out. I just hadn't made a formal announcement of it. And I didn't care anymore. I was just waiting for the right moment to actually do it in print. And so once I started working for The Advocate and doing, feature articles for them, I was, proud of what I was doing and wanted to get more involved with work in the gay and lesbian community. And so it was the right time.
What kind of reaction did you get, and how did that compare to what you had expected?
I got an unbelievably overwhelming positive reaction, and reached a huge number of people. And I think I was surprised just how much really great feedback I got from it. It was like a very personal decision, and something that I was ready to do, and I didn't really think so much about what the response would be to it. It was just something that I felt I needed to do. And so to have so much really great feedback and responses come back at me, it was kind of a surprise. A nice surprise.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Chastity Bono, and she's the entertainment media director for GLAAD, which is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Tell me how your parents found out that that you were gay. They knew by the time you came out. They knew before you were outed.
Well, yeah. I came out to my dad when I was 18, and then...
How did that happen, could you say?
I just finally made the decision to do it. I had a really close relationship with him at the time, and again was just sick of hiding such a huge part of my life to him, and finally mustered up the courage to do that and tell him. And then I met my first kind of serious girlfriend not long after that, and my mom, I guess, kind of suspected that there was something different going on with me, and talked to my dad about it, and he confirmed it to her.
What was your father's reaction when you came out? Your father is Sonny Bono, who is a congressman now, who has voted against gay legislation, such as he co-sponsored the Defense of Marriage Act, which denies federal recognition of same-sex marriages and allows states not to recognize same-sex marriages licensed in other states.
Right.
So what was his reaction to his daughter coming out?
He was wonderful. He really, it was kind of the picture-perfect reaction you could hope from a parent. Just, love you, accept you. I thought this was what you were going to tell me anyway, and, it doesn't matter, kind of a thing.
How do you explain the disparity between the way he's been voting in Congress and his personal reaction to your coming out?
I think it's just party politics, and it's very hypocritical.
So you think that he's not, in his heart of hearts, opposed to gay people or gay rights?
No, I know he's not.
So you think he wants to just stay on the good side of his party?
Yeah, I have talked to him. I did an interview with him for The Advocate where he said that he would, support gay marriages. And then, I guess a year later, he was co-sponsoring DOMA. So I don't think that he doesn't have a problem with gay people in the slightest. He's got, many gay friends. He says he's had gay people working for him. It's just, towing the party line.
Your mother has said, I think, that her initial reaction was to throw you out of the house.
Yeah.
And I was just so surprised at that, because your mother, Cher, seems so open-minded. And she has such a large gay male following. I mean, half the performing drag queens do Cher in their act. So I was just kind of surprised that she'd be angry with you.
Well, I don't know that it was, I don't know that she was angry. I think that she was just feeling, you know, numerous different emotions. And, you know, I think that she reacted very typically to the way parents react to that. And it wasn't a matter of you know, homophobia or, you know, having a problem with gay people, because we, you know, always had gay people very close to the family growing up. But it was, you know, that all of a sudden now this is her daughter, and so you had all these different, you know, things playing into it, fear and, you know, guilt and, you know, what did I do wrong, and all that, you know, all the really typical things that parents feel. You know, she threw me out of the house, but it lasted for about, you know, 3 or 4 days, so it wasn't like, you know, she kind of blew up, and then we started to try to deal with it.
Now, we've talked about how you were outed, when you decided to come out, how uh-huh. your parents found out you were gay. How did you find out you were gay? How did you realize that?
Well, I think that I always felt different as a child and didn't really exactly know what that difference was, but never really felt like I fit in with other little girls when I was really young. And always had a lot of friends that were boys and was just kind of that classic tomboy. And then as I got older and, you know, I started to hit puberty, it just, I kind of figured it out. And I think the light bulb finally really went off when I saw the movie Personal Best. All of a sudden kind of hit me what this difference that I was feeling really was.
My guest is Chastity Bono. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Chastity Bono is my guest, and she's now the entertainment media director for GLAAD, which is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. You consulted to the show Ellen mm-hmm. when Ellen the actress and Ellen the character were coming out. What kind of advice did you give? What were you asked about?
I appeared on the episode that follows the original coming out episode, and so I was on the set and just kind of started.
Is this the episode where she tells her parents?
Where she tells her parents, yeah, and just kind of started kind of giving my two cents, and they listened, which was nice, and it was really about. I mean, you know, there was nothing at all that was, you know, offensive about the show or, you know, truly inaccurate. It was more, you know, little things like, you know, changing lines here or there. You know, a lot of stuff in the scene where she comes out to her parents and in the scene at the council group that I'm in at the end where, you know, they had Ellen saying a lot of the lines that ended up going to me and to Lorraine Newman, and you know, I kind of said Ellen wouldn't be saying this, she wouldn't be sophisticated enough, you know, in her coming out process to use this type of language, and you know, this is something that you know, she might say a couple of years down the line, but not at this point. And so,
What were those things that you thought were too sophisticated for the moment?
I don't remember the exact lines. It's, you know, there's a line that I said something about, you know, it's easier to live your life openly. You know, sometimes it's more easy to live your life openly and honestly than to live a lie. That's not something that somebody who just started their coming out process would say. It is something that a counselor would say. So it was that kind of stuff.
Any time that there's a TV show with a gay character or a movie with a gay character, do you feel like it's your duty to go see it?
Uh-huh, yeah, I do.
So what have you been seeing lately on TV and in movie theaters?
Well, not a lot of TV because we're in reruns now.
Reruns, right.
But I just saw my best friend's wedding, which I thought was wonderful. And
critique of the gay character in it?
It was great. I mean, actually, one of the best portrayals I've seen, and something that I don't think we've seen before. I mean, Rupert Everett, in my opinion, really stole the film, and I think in a lot of other people's opinions as well.
And he's come out as an actor, too, right?
He's been out. He's been out for many, many years. So, and it was just, he managed, I think, to be really kind of sexy and charming as a gay person, which is something you don't really see that often. And, you know, now there he's got three projects in the works right now. So, you know, a lot of other people were equally impressed by his performance. So that was great and really exciting. Just recently saw Con Air, which was kind of a really bad portrayal of a gay person. And we are going to be talking to the producer of that film.
What are you going to say?
Well, you know, kind of try to explain why it was bad and why that character was offensive to people. And I
haven't seen the movie. Tell me what was offensive to you about it.
What was offensive was that it was really a character that was just there for the sake of kind of making fun of and laughing at. And there was no depth to the character, and there was no value to him as far as plot or storyline. There was no need for him to be there other than to pop up, you know, periodically in a buffoonish manner and be laughed at. And so, you know, we need to, you know, just talk to the producers and explain why that isn't okay. You know, why that kind of a portrayal will, you know, come up against criticism.
Now, tell me how you play this. There is a kind of line between trying to raise people's consciousness and generate awareness about, you know, sexual stereotypes and gender stereotypes. There's a line between that and being like the political correctness police.
Right.
So where do you draw that line?
I mean, this is an instance of, now there's been two portrayals by the same producer who did the Rock last year, which also had a really stereotypical gay character, and now the Sharon Con Air. So there's a pattern here developing, and you know, when I made the call, he had already gotten tons and tons of criticism, you know, not only from the press but also from just people within the entertainment industry, gay and straight people, just kind of saying you know this is not okay. And so, you know, there's a definite willingness on their part to meet with us. And, you know, I think that for the most part in Hollywood, people don't want to offend people or turn people off. And I think there's a genuine kind of feeling coming from them, like, well, what did we do wrong? And why was the Birdcage okay? And the fact that those characters were stereotypical, but this character isn't. And so I think it's you know, for GLAAD, just a matter of getting in and trying to educate and trying to work with them so this doesn't happen in the future.
You said earlier that it's when you saw the movie Personal Best,
mm-hmm.
Which is about a young woman who's an athlete who realizes that she's gay. That's when you realized that you were gay, too, watching mm-hmm. that movie.
Right.
Since watching a movie was such a formative experience for you, is it particularly important to you how gays and lesbians are portrayed in movies and on television?
Well, I think it just, to me, I mean, also especially since taking the job at GLAAD and now having thought about it, I think it's interesting that, you know, here I grew up surrounded by gay people all the time, and yet it took seeing a movie for it to register with me. So I think it shows the power that the media has for gay and lesbian people, for everybody, really, and how, you know, it really helps to shape us. And so, yeah, I think it illustrates the importance of diverse portrayals of gays and lesbians.
Let me ask you this. This might seem as an odd question, but it seems to me like in the entertainment industry, if you were singing or acting or something, your parents had kind of been there first. But in the area of gay rights, I mean, there's no way anyone could say to you, oh, sure, well, you're a gay activist because
right.
your mother was there first and she did it
yeah.
so well. or, you know, your father did it so well. Has it been liberating for you in that respect, too, to
totally.
Do something in which you're really your own person?
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. It has been. It's been really liberating for that reason. I mean, when I was in the music industry, everything that I did was in comparison to my parents. You know, every article and everything was like, you know, she sounds like her mother. She doesn't sound like her mother. Her music's like her parents was. It's not at all. You know, everything was just in comparison to that. And you know, like you said, they've never done this type of work. There is no comparison. You know, it's something wholly my own, and so that is nice.
Chastity Bono, thank you very much for talking with us.
Sure.
Chastity Bono is the entertainment media director for GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.